2024 presidential race is heating up. Trump and Biden both sweep out Super Tuesday. And, well, it's turning into election season full on. If you're not ready for it, turn off the TVs. If you are, stay with the show. And we will close it out with a little bit of a happy note. MLB spring training is back, one of my favorite times of the year. And if you're not into it, well, then, I don't know. It is America's pastime, isn't it? Let's get to that. So, there's a few things I want to get off my chest before the show actually starts today. So, first of all, there was a bomb dropped on me last week. And if I haven't reached out to you personally, I haven't let you know, if you feel like you should know, hit me up personally, maybe on a DM or something like that. I would gladly talk it out with you. No issues there. And other than that, I want to start the show off like this. I had a conversation with my dad the other day that I found was really productive. A lot of where I got my original thinking on politics or how I started getting into it was with my father and interacting with him when I saw things on the news. I wanted to ask. And of course, he has opinions like anybody else. One of the best conversations that we had, well, one of the best parts of the conversation, I should say, was all focused on, well, what happens after this election here, 2024? That's going to be really important when we look at 2028. And why? Because you can't have Biden Trump again. You're not going to have Obama in the race, right? You're not going to have a Bush. It's going to be a whole new slate of politicians, and that is going to be game-changing for America. And the reason I think it's so significant is not because what is said there is true, and it's very blanket, but I think it's a, in my opinion, a thing to look forward to. For us Americans, this time is going to pass, right? And you might see each side here, when you talk about Republican or Democrat, whoever wins this election, you might see a blatant power grab. I'm sure you will. Because regardless of who wins this election, you're talking about someone who's in their second term as a president. They, generally speaking, are going to rule by executive order and are going to pass down legislation as much as they can that suits their agenda. And we've seen this forever in American history, so it's nothing new. But the point taken is there's something to look forward to. I don't think you'll see either one of them take on a fully autocratic role, even though people are slinging that on both sides. I don't think it's possible. I think everything they do will be reversible. Like I said, you're talking about a heavily executive action led campaign. So just look on the bright side. We got something else coming. And with that, let's get into what happened Super Tuesday. Very recently, we had really some crazy times. I mean, just the political discourse is getting nuts. You're talking about a guy who lit himself on fire. I think I mentioned one of the shows earlier, lit himself on fire in order to protest the Israeli-Hamas war. And then going further, you're just seeing the rhetoric, in my opinion, on apps like X or Instagram just getting turned up. Like just when you think it's turned up to 11, it goes up another notch the next day. So this is what we're looking at with the campaigns, but the candidates are solidified, right? I think I mentioned in the intro there, we had a clean sweep for both sides, and that's not necessarily true because I believe that Nikki Haley actually won DC. So I don't know if, ooh, looks like she actually won Vermont as well. So that is my mistake. Nikki Haley won two spots of delegates, but she still dropped out. So the important part is it is now down to a Trump and a Biden race. It's just pretty clear. You have RFK still out there. What does it mean though? I mean, when you look at the underlying numbers, right, you have to have an assumption that the primary vote getting for Democrats is going to be lower because they're in the incumbent and there's nobody running against Joe Biden, right? So his numbers are generally lower, you would expect, but you know, Trump is struggling to beat these numbers, it looks like, even with his coalition that he built, right? And you look at something like Massachusetts, he didn't really win very well, right? Didn't pull out too high. There's many places where he's winning by, you know, a percentage of about 50, 60. There's a big question there if 30, 35% of the voter base is going for another candidate, how many of them are going to be willing to come and vote for you on election day? It's definitely not 100%, right? And that's a big question. Whereas for Biden, I would think, now, I don't really have any data back me up here, but I would think that Joe Biden has an overall more broadband message, right? His message might not be exactly what you want to hear, but he's going to at least encompass a decent amount of people under that wing. With Trump, you have alienation. It is just a bona fide fact. So it's going to be a big question as to, I think it's going to be important as to whether RFK Jr. actually picks up a decent slate of votes. You would think that RFK Jr. would pull from people, actually from Biden, but I think that's actually a misnomer. I think that RFK is going to pull a lot from those independent-minded, those really conspiracy theorists, quote-unquote, or don't own, quote-unquote. There's some really whack people out there. I think that RFK is going to grab those people up. You can make arguments all day long whether those people tend left, tend right. I'm not here to do that. I'm just saying that's the vote that he's going to get. I don't know who that impacts more. And it's going to be fun to look at, for sure. But one thing I wanted to get into that's outside of the election, because Biden actually had a few things to say this week. Of course, he had a State of the Union, which I really, just be honest with you, didn't feel like listening to. So I didn't. And I'm not going to try to act like I have any insight, because I think State of the Unions are really dumb. It's pretty obvious what the State of the Union is at all times. You just look around and you're talking to people, I think. Now, something I did find interesting was after the State of the Union, he had one of his, I assume one of his donors, coming up to him, praising him for sending aid into Gaza. Now, this is something that happened, I believe, earlier this week or late last week. Aid was sent into Gaza, so now you have truly, it's on the books now. We've supported both sides of this war. I can't help but think that that's not a great solution to the problem. Instead, I think that you should, if you feel that aid is needed for these people, maybe we should be pushing for a permanent end to this conflict. Just my opinion. But I think what ended up coming out on the, I don't know, Senate floor, House floor, whatever ended up coming out of Joe Biden's mouth actually was good. Okay. And there was conservatives and I think even honestly some Democrats as well hitting Biden over the head for saying to a donor that he had a come to Jesus moment or come to Jesus meeting. It's kind of hard to interpret what he said with Bibi Netanyahu, Benjamin Netanyahu. What he was trying to say is that he's going to have to realize that there is an end to this war. This war does not have full annihilation on its horizon. It never has and it never will. Maybe it did in Israel's eyes. But come to Jesus moment is the fact that there will need to be an end to this war. With that being said, I think that was actually one of the better things that Joe Biden did. What happened is he was on a hot mic, can never tell if they set these things up on purpose, but one of his handlers, one of the people that was watching over Joe Biden, comes up, says, "Sir, you are on a hot mic." And Joe Biden actually outwardly says, "Oh, we're on a hot mic. That's good. This is good." I actually agree. Okay, now I'm going to tell you why. This conflict needs to end. If he's able to put an end to it, okay, and I'm not saying that he should be praised by any means, but if a diplomatic ending to the Israeli-Hamas war can be achieved, it means the same can be done for Ukraine. And it also means that we are all of a sudden, instead of being off the negotiating table for the past couple of years, we're now on the negotiating table. And that's a big place to be for America, making deals, you know, sad as it is, profiting from it, which is what's going to be needed to recuperate from some of these major expenditures we've been making lately, right? This is the stuff that we need as Americans. You can hate on them all you want. You can hate on them for saying, come to Jesus to a Jew, which I don't think has any bearing in reality how that's a bad thing. What he was trying to say is true. We're going to have to put an end to this war, whether you like it or not. And the same can be said to Hamas leadership if they still want to perpetrate this war. I can imagine they're getting some feedback that the world is shifting to their side. And I think this is an example. Now, something that I did not fully support that Joe Biden said. Now, during his State of the Union address, I believe it was said, and I'll have to go check this before I publish, but I believe that it was said that Joe Biden felt that there was damage being done on behalf of illegal immigrants. And he actually used the term illegals. He was referring to Laken Riley, I believe, the girl who just passed away She was murdered by an illegal immigrant. And I thought that it was actually a decent statement. I think what people were hitting him on the head for was that he mispronounced Lincoln Riley's name, which is whatever. He said Lincoln, I believe. Not that big of a deal. The sentiment, I understand hitting him over the head, that he doesn't care that much. But when you look in reality, like I said, he actually didn't say anything too bad there. The bad thing came the next day when he recanted and instead tried to clarify that he did not mean to say illegals. And to promote, it just doesn't make sense from a common sense perspective of why you would want to promote people crossing your border illegally so much the way that this president does. As much as you might want to say that it's all policy, it's all people at the border actually handling it, there's a reasonable take, I believe. If you are hearing the president of the United States not condemn people for coming over totally illegally against international law to just pass a border without claiming asylum, having a reason, just go and start living there, that's illegal. You have a president who just winks and nods at that. There's a clear causation there, link and causation to something being said and an increase in numbers. People are just going to take advantage. It's just a reality. How many? You don't know, but it's going to be more. It's unfortunate. That is one of the poorest mistakes I think that this president has, one of the biggest stains, and it's one of the reasons that, just to look at 2024 for a quick second before we move on to something, like I said, a little bit, this is one of the things that Trump is really going to have to do to get my vote. I don't know how you guys are feeling. I'd love to hear it in the comments, but Trump has work to do to get my vote. He really does, especially being in New Jersey, in a state that I don't think the election is actually going to be close. I think New Jersey is going to overwhelmingly vote for Joe Biden. And yeah, it's just going to be very hard for Donald Trump to earn my vote. And the reason being is I just haven't seen the commitment to the issues in the way that he used to do. He's definitely been getting better, but it doesn't make it the candidate that I really want to vote for. And I'll be honest, it really looks like a blue tide coming. Not for the entire Democratic side, but for Joe Biden. It doesn't seem like there's... With all that being said, I hope that Trump really force people like me and people who are trying to think about the amount of negatives that you need to overcome to pull the trigger for a guy like Trump. He's got work to do. And I hope that he gets to work. Because, you know, we need someone who's willing to, unfortunately or fortunately, depending on how you want to look at things, we need someone who's going to cut off these extra expenditures, honestly try to broker deals and get us into a better spot domestically entirely and not be so focused on the world. And however you want to get there, I hope that Trump has better words than supporting Putin in his rush to take over Ukraine. There's a lot of work to do. So I'll leave it there. One of my favorite topics coming up. If you haven't already, if you enjoy the show, I would love for you to go share it, comment, like, subscribe. The amount that you help our channel, especially if you were to go and rate it on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, it's wonders. Immediately, it puts it in front of more people's feeds, people that are like you. As long as you're comfortable doing that, it's really 3 seconds. You should already be on the app. Could not appreciate you anymore. Thank you. All right, let's get back into it. Baseball season, my favorite season of the year. I'm going to end the show with this because I think everybody deserves a little bit of fun. So, call this good or bad, but I find it funny that Baseball League has now gotten to a point that their jersey quality has diminished so badly that really the main reason is to try to make up for funds elsewhere. You're trying to pay these massive contracts. You're trying to pay the workers to staff these stadiums and really still try to produce food, alcoholic beverages, get this stuff out and have security for it. Right? These are expensive operations, man. You're talking about taking care of 40,000 people in one spot, one time. And you're paying all these guys millions of dollars. They got to cut costs somewhere, right? So I guess it's the jerseys this year. If you haven't seen them yet, go look at the new jerseys. You can totally see through them. You're looking at guys like jock straps, their jerseys, their shirts sticking through the white jerseys. This has been a funny, funny spring training so far. If anybody's been following the Yankees, we're not looking too hot. Anybody's been following the rest of the league, it looks like the league is getting off slow. I'd be very curious to see, you know, spring training is usually a barometer of who's probably going to get hurt. If you're playing really well up front, you're probably gassing it too early, and you're out competing basically 4A guys who are really hoping to get a shot. Other than that, spring training doesn't really have any barometer. Guys are getting real upset that Stanton still has not really struck one. I don't even know if he has a hit this spring training. It's all hoopla. It ain't the regular season. It don't really mean nothing. What I do want to see from a Yankees perspective, the biggest thing that I want to see is big competitions. Right? They're already weeding out the teams, but I want to see these guys fight for these spots and really want to grind to be on this team this year. Because in my opinion, with Soto, everything that you have going on, you know, that's great, but I don't know, if we don't win a World Series this year, I don't think we have too many chances coming up in the near future. So like I said, I just hope the Yankees take advantage, big opportunity, and good luck to all your teams. I'm a huge baseball fan. I don't really care who wins all that much, especially anymore. I think baseball is a great game. I think it should continue. And I do think that we need to push as a society to get these things, you know, football, baseball, basketball. We need to get these things reined in, man. When you look at things like sports, right, what is it in reality? It's the modern day bread and circus, right? It's the modern day bread and circus. Okay, you're going to keep the people complacent by giving them bread and circus. The problem with our modern day right now is bread and circus costs so much that it's only for the elite. So the people who need the bread and circus, the poor, the people who need some sort of escape from their shitty lives, can't even afford to go to these games anymore. So bread and circus, they ain't no longer for them. Now, here's a lot of different options. You're talking about Netflix and Amazon, Hulu. All these things are, of course, in the same ballpark as, but when you really think about it, not being able to experience a game, I don't know if this was impactful for any of you guys growing up, but if I never got to go to a baseball game in person, I don't know if I would love the sport as much as I did growing up, or I would still want to get better. Like when you see someone doing something you do, you know, for fun every other day, and they are so much better than you that they just amaze you, put you at a loss for words. Like that's some special, you know, most of us are at least cognizant enough to know that most parents are not absolutely overflowing with money. It's a rare circumstance for parents to be so well off that they have money to spare on all trips. They can give kids everything. Like normally it takes quite a while, right? You see kids going out to their first vacations, maybe in their teens, right? When the kids start to get older and they don't have to pay for all this little stuff. It's becoming, I think, less and less that people are able to access this. And it's becoming less and less. I don't even know how many kids can do it on their own, right? From a summer job and going and putting up money to go to a concert, putting up money to go to a game. Like the whole point, if you're going to have a good bread and circus, you want to distract the people from what's really going on and all the hardships, right? That's what you really want. It's got to be affordable. It really does, because otherwise you're just doing it for yourself, the high class. And I think that's what it's coming down to. It'll be a very slow process for these streaming services to go price up so much that they price people out, but it'll happen, right? It's going to be unjustifiable to pay $35, $40, $50 for a streaming service when you might be able to get another one for free, right? And it'll keep going down that way. Losing a grip on what makes our country, right? Like a baseball stadium, a football stadium, a game of hockey. Of course, it's Canadian, but we know the NHL is based here. When you talk about things like this, losing this is more impactful than people think. And it should be held a lot more dearly than people are giving it credit for, right? A lot of guys like to say, I don't care about sports once they outgrow it, right? Or like, it's a little kid thing. You're not a real man if you're still watching sports when you get older. Listen, in my opinion, everybody needs an escape. Everybody needs something. But when you make those things only accessible to such a small portion of the population, well, I think you're looking at a lot of the problems that we have here today. Welcome to my TED Talk. Hope you enjoyed it. Sal Asante with the Patriots. Everybody have a great week. I wish I were the fucking state. I want to be something, not nothing. Trapped inside my dream and I'm running. Running away from these demons. But the feeling's so good, I'm going to keep dreaming.